Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum
for King G, where comfort is king.
Triple M rocks footy.
So nice to have your company on this Saturday afternoon. Plenty to get through in the 2 hours we have to share with you before the Bulldogs and the Melbourne Storm. 3 o'clock, Maroon will be your caller. Sterlo will join us at 2. He'll look at that game and everything else that is moving in rugby league, and plenty of things are on the move. As we mentioned at the top of the show, Nathan Brown has been appointed the new Warriors coach as of next season. Brownie, who is a great friend to the show, will join us in a little over an hour. We'll have a chat with him.
He only wants to come on when Sterlo's here, he said, which is beautiful. There's a little bromance going on between those two. Every sort of Saturday when Sterlo walks in, yeah, they have a COVID cuddle. I don't know.
Are you jealous?
Sort of,
well, it's not a COVID cuddle.
I've got Tony.
I don't think they cuddle.
That's right. No, they don't.
It's a COVID cuddle.
They don't.
It's a meeting of the fists, yeah, or the elbows. Yeah. But
they dip their shiny domes towards one another.
They do.
It's a mirror image.
It's cute, isn't
ceremony.
It?
Yeah. It is true. But I think what that is, and it's so valid, is that over the journey, and Brownie, as every coach, has faced some tough times. Sterlo has been a big supporter of what he's done when he's at Newcastle, and I think that's a good thing. He'll be here, and we'll talk to him. And Todd Payton will also join us. There is some breaking news, Emma Lawrence, about Anthony Seibold at the Broncos. What's going on?
So he'll spend the next 14 days in isolation because he stayed in Sydney last night. But before anyone is going to jump down his throat, it's a very serious family matter.
Right.
So he made the decision to stay down here with his family. So he could be here for another 48 hours or so before going back up there to Brisbane. So Peter Gentle, their assistant, is going to take over for the next 2 weeks. So really serious matter. Our thoughts are with Anthony Seibold and his family. It's a tough enough time for him as it is with what's going on at the Broncos and their performances. But sometimes I think we forget that players and coaches are human as well, and as well as having to deal with the pressure of being a head coach, he also has a family to deal with. So, thoughts are with him, and fingers crossed that everything is okay with his family.
Well said, Em.
All right, there you go. That is the breaking news story of the day, along with Nathan Brown, who we'll also speak to. Todd Payton will join us very shortly. Before then, let's just have a little chat about how those Warriors went, because it's quite remarkable if you look at the table. They're now 11. Top eightable.
Yes.
They can get into the top eight. They've beaten Manly 26-22. Sure, it was an undermanned Manly. But the Warriors, as we've said, they've faced a whole stack of issues for the entire season. Everybody's just been so sympathetic about them. Oh, it's great. They're there because the competition can go on, because they've done it. They're, sacrificing. Well, you know what? They decided to win some games of footy, and the season's absolutely alive for them, MG.
Yeah, well, we've spoken about them at length on Triple M for the last, 10, 11 weeks since the competition's been back, and how heroic they've been, leaving family behind and living out of a suitcase for basically 2.5 months. And I've got a feeling that they might want to keep this long-term, maybe stay at the Star or Terrigal for next season and the season after, because it seems to be that they've kind of locked themselves in. They've got that mindset now, and little things that Todd Payton's doing that, got Brett Finch into camp to give them an idea on once it's gone, rugby league. And Finchie spoke to him at length about how much the game means to him, how much he misses the dressing room, and how much he misses being away with his mates. And I think the Warriors players responded last night by what Brett Finch had to say, because they played like a group of blokes who were really enjoying their footy. Their opening stanza against Manly were just so much on them. They smothered them. And they're playing a brand of footy they weren't playing last year or the year before. So who knows? They might want to look at the start of the season long term.
Well, it's a controlled environment, and I think that's the benefit of this, MG. And when you're a young guy, you're coming up, you pick up some young habits. It's a relatively young roster yet, and they're in New Zealand, so they probably don't have the scrutiny and the limelight like they probably do have when they're over here. But also, you can get your dietitians in, you can make sure they're eating the right thing, you can make sure they're icing up, they're spending time with the physio. So And also you take in then the stability of not travelling every second week. And MG might be exactly on the money where the environment they're in at the moment, along, and let's not take anything away from, you know, what Toddy Payton's been able to do up there and achieve in such a short time. But, yeah, they're totally under control, aren't they? And then being able to be watched in all aspects of their preparation, and they're responding.
And the fact too now that all players, bar Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, do have their families now with them, because we had a couple go back home for family reasons, pregnant partners, that sort of thing, which we completely understand. But I guess the stability of that environment, but also having the family around now that that's settled as well, would make a tremendous difference.
Yeah. Although we don't really want the Central Coast Warriors. We do need them at some point to go back and play out of New Zealand and be the inspiration.
But maybe they're going to pick up some really good habits here, Tony, that they're going to take back and then realise that to win. And I think that's been one of the issues the Warriors have had over a long period of time, is to get that consistent flow of sort of winning footy games or performing at a certain level is so connected to your preparation. And if they're picking those habits up here, and then Nathan Brown, he's just going to leverage off that when he gets over there next year, and they can start him off on the right foot and maybe put some things in place that hadn't been previously.
Yep. At some point last night, I was looking at the Tyre Power scoreboard. The Warriors, when it was 13 on 13, they were leading 26-0. When they had players in the bin, Manly led 10-0. Obviously, the score ended up 26-22. But the Warriors were, it was when it became so close at the end, I was thinking, no, this team deserves to win.
They've always been able to score points, haven't they? But it's been over the last 3 weeks, and I include the last two in a row, and then the loss against the Roosters, I thought they were really good. It's just been their effort around their getting behind the ball defensively, getting on their trial, or just not giving up points. Because they can score. They've never had a problem with, you know, going through the middle of sides and then being able to, you know, come up with the right play at the right time to get some points. Last night, with Green not being there, it was always going to be a bit of a challenge for the young Haas. Well, Nickarim's not so young, but he's a runner of the football, so they needed a game manager. Harris DeVita, I think, you know, stepped up nicely, but it was Nickarim's kicking game where they scored a lot of points off the back of and was able to just end their sets in a positive way. They were really good.
Probably now the poster boys, aren't they, for the loan system? Everyone who's gone there, Farmer Seeley, Hetherington, Alvaro, George Jennings last night was one of their best. It's something we've really got to have a look at. I know it's kind of a novelty at the moment, and they're kind of, people are calling them the New Zealand Barbarians, but the nucleus of that team are all from the Warriors from last year, and the way they've grown with these new guys being injected into their system, I just think it's something we've really got to look at. I know the English Premier League do it, and that's kind of the model, but there's some way we can keep fringe first graders from going over to England for that, you know, that swan song. Instead, you've got a loan system where you might be able to shuffle around between a few clubs who got hit by the injury stick pretty hard. I think it's a fantastic initiative.
Peter Volandis this morning on Desert Legends, MG, who was asked that very question and said, you know, well, it's certainly something they would look at. He's open to. Nathan Brown has said on this show several times how, and he's obviously used it, in England.
It wasn't just the Warriors issue, Tane. Obviously, the Tigers did it with the Storm, and look what that's produced.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Hetherington, look, was that a send-off?
Blocker Roach certainly thought it should have been, but he's copped, he'll get... If he takes the early guilty plea, he'll get 4 weeks out for that high shot on Marty Tapau. That is because he did have carryover points. And this is now his sixth charge in just 22 games of NRL. So
he's a good player, but that's one thing that's just stopping him from, you know, and he's got an error at a costly time of the game in his kit bag as well, which he needs to get out. So he's an aggressive player. He plays close to the line. I don't think there was any bad intentions in what he did last night. It looked to me like he sort of knocked down the fend and then sort of when he always goes in hard, but his timing was out. I think it was reckless and careless, but I don't think it was intentional.
No, I'm 100%. 100%. I've walked a mile in them shoes that he's walking in at the moment. Once you're tainted, you think you're getting picked on, but you're not. You're a victim of your own circumstances. And Jack Hetherington will be, you know, ongoing as well. So if that was someone else last night, we would have said the same thing Gerd just said then, and I agree with Gerd. It wasn't intentional, but because of Jack Hetherington, some people think it was. If it was, you know, Tohu Harris who did the same tackle, in exactly the same vein, you would have said, oh, that was a mistake. But when you've been there and done it and you've got a track record, well, people look at you differently. And I thought just as he was starting to really come of age as a rugby league player with the Warriors, especially last week against the Tigers. He was probably the best player on the ground, running out wide and tackling hard and offloading. And I coming through the ranks at Penrith, this guy was taught, you know, he was spoken about as a future rep player. And I still believe he could be one. But he's got to address that 15-20% of his game that sees him in hot water like he is today.
Well, he won't be able to play again until round 18, so may very well have played his last game for the Warriors, because by that stage he might be back at the Panthers. They were actually due to play the Panthers next week.
Yep.
There are a few mixed reports, but apparently it was Jack's decision not to play against the Panthers. But if he does then go back and heading into finals time for the Panthers, what a difference that will make for them having him at their disposal. If they have a couple of injuries, he's now had, instead of, I mean, I know he'll have this 4 weeks out, but instead of not having played in months, at least he's had a handful of footy games.
Yep. Well, they are one club, you would have to say at the moment, have sort of travelled along nicely in relation to injuries to key personnel.
Yep.
Especially you see, you know, what Manly have gone through and where Brisbane have been and the Roosters.
You're going to jinx them, good.
Yeah. Oh, well, touch wood, nothing happens, but a fact's a fact.
I want to get to, we'll get to Manly a little bit later and Desi and those, all of those injuries, but running out of time, because very shortly we will chat with Todd Payton, the Warriors interim coach.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
As we rock the footy, that is exactly the way to do it. Right here, right now, though, what a great pleasure to welcome to the show the man, the interim coach of the New Zealand Warriors, who performed so brilliantly last night, 26-22 winners over Manly. I'm talking about Todd Payton. G'day, mate. Congratulations on a great effort.
Hi, guys. Yeah, thank you very much. Very pleasing result for the club and happy for the lads. You know, tough win against a tough team. So, yeah, pleased.
But before going to that game in some detail, obviously the news of today is that Nathan Brown has been appointed to the top job at the Warriors from next season. What do you make of that?
I think it's great news for the club, mate. The last, 15 weeks has been pretty challenging. You know, we've had some, you know, several different challenges from week to week. So, yeah, really good news for the club, good direction to go in. So, yeah, it's good for everyone.
Hey, Toddy, Ryan Girdler, mate, congratulations on a, I think you're in line for interim Dally M coach of the year. but, mate, what positives are you guys? Obviously, there's been some struggles and they've been well documented. But, mate, you know, the Warriors, we all know over a long period of time, have trouble consistently performing on a weekly basis. Now, you guys, and, you know, it's only been a couple of weeks, I know, but the effort over the last 3 to 4 weeks has been pretty good. What do you take away from this period that you've spent in Terrigal?
Yeah, look, I think it's been good for the group. There's no doubt there's been some guys that were not completely happy without their family here, and those guys have gone. Everyone that's here is happy, and they're willing to dig in and have a crack at it. We've got some families here, so it's a good little facility that we're in at the start of the season. We're getting well looked after. You know, the families are happy. It's almost like a working holiday for them. Boys here, they turn up to training every day with the right attitude, and we're just enjoying it and just taking on each week as it comes.
Hey, Todd, it's Emma Lauren. Speaking of the families, I think as of last week anyway, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, was he the only one without his family here? Is that still the case? And have you had conversations with him about potentially having them over here as well, just given what a difference it's made to the others?
Yeah, so Roger's wife, she's Kiwi, but she has lived in Australia, so there is a little loophole we can try and attempt to get her over. But yeah, Roger's the only Kiwi, so to speak, that's here without family. The other guys that didn't have the families have gone home. There are all our staff that, you know, are New Zealanders. They don't have family here either, so it's a challenge for them. But as far as Roger goes, he's happy enough, knowing that his family's at home, you know, with some good help around her. He's got two babies under three. I said in my press conference last week that he's a little bit hazy and a little bit clouded in how he is from day to day, but I can totally understand that. Being away from your family, he's a guy that that needs him around to make him happy, like most of us, and he plays his best footy when he's clear-headed. So I just think he's got a little bit going on in the background, which, you know, which has stopped him from playing at his best. Well, I think he was very good last night.
Well, given, although he may not be at his very best, given he's still able to go out there and still put in a solid enough performance, given how difficult it is, what does that say about who he is, the character of Roger Tuivasa-Sheck?
Yeah, he's a terrific fella. Terrific fella. He's a good leader. He leads by his actions. You know, if I'd put that in the context, if you look at Peter Hicku over the last 3 weeks, he's been up with our best and his family arrived, you know, 3 weeks ago, and before that, he wasn't so good. So, you know, happy people make happy footballers and good footballers. So that's a big part. And, you know, it's hard to quantify how not having families and loved ones around and being comfortable in your own environment can impact your game. But I can see it from day to day and from week to week. And it's just a big challenge that we face.
Toddy, how good's the Star of the Sea and Bob the Boss?
Here we go. Here's the plug. Go on, G. Get it out there.
That's my favourite place in the world, honestly.
It's a great facility. He's a terrific fella, Bob. He slips in a envelope underneath my underneath my door every week. He's got a bit of a footballing background and he's got a range of tips and sayings. And he's been great for the gang. He's a really good fella.
Well, okay. The other night you were on NRL 360 and you kind of had a press conference, as we're led to believe, and it was pre-recorded. Then you kind of said to him, has it been aired? Because I want to come on live and talk about something else. And you were very honest, and I really respect that. And I love the transparency you had, and got me thinking that to knock back an offer like that to the Warriors, and I know you spoke about your wife's father, and I feel your pain because I've got my father going through the same thing at the moment, and it's hard when you can't see them. The Cowboys job. I think you've got it. I know you probably can't say anything at the moment. Is that something you covet?
Oh, I'm interested in it, MG. Look, the way it transpired on, was it Monday or Tuesday night, was not the way I really wanted it to. I didn't want it to play out in public, but I'd had a pre-record with the, you know, with the guys on 360, and we spoke at length about my interview at the Warriors and what I'd do if, you know, I got the top job. I got off that phone call and I know I'd already knocked the job back.
Okay,
it just didn't sit well with me for 30 minutes.
Yep.
And I thought, shit, you know, how can I expect or hold my players accountable for being honest if I'm not honest myself? And I bit the bullet and just rang them straight back up and said, look, can I just clear the air here? And I got on and, just come clean. So I'm glad it played out that way. You know, it wasn't ideal, like I said, but it just
didn't sit right with
it from my shoulders. Yeah.
I could tell. Yep. Well, I mean, it's something that, you know, you've been, I think in the last, since you've taken over the job, it's something that the players have all, you know, been accountable for. Even from little things I saw in your press conference last night about bringing Finch in and telling your players how much rugby league means to him, and once it's gone forever. And this time you should be relishing. And I think your players are responding beautifully. Whatever you're telling them, I know it's maybe the skill you're making them train up the skill every day and doing some hill sprints, but it's something that, look, I think you're a born leader, and it's something that when I played against you as a 17-year-old in 1996, as this kid who come through Erindale College, that here you are, early 40s now, and you've got the world at your feet as a coach. Did you ever imagine you'd be a career coach in the NRL?
No, not at all. I probably didn't really think I'd go down that path until 3 or 4 years left in my playing career, and when you really start to think, well, what am I going to do? Obviously, I loved sport. I grew up playing a lot of sport back in my hometown. I had some good coaches along the way in different fields. I guess I really thought about it long and hard and went down that path. So, I was really close with Tim, and I expressed my desires to him, and he pushed me along in that area, and I was really lucky to, you know, come out of playing and into a 20s gig at the Tigers, and it sort of went on from there. But
the rest is history. The rest is history, brother.
I've got a good story that, you know, when I played you over in Perth. Now, it was my first starting match, and I remember running out and you were already out there and you were mouthing off to me, Peyton, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. And I was 17 and I'm going, what have I done to this boy?
And then I think you were in over twice.
Later that night, I ran in here at a nightclub or a bar. And you come up to me and your arms are going, hey, mate, nice to meet you. I'm going, mate, you're going to kill me.
The white line, brother. It's the white line.
How do you know, Toddy? I mean, you've had a little, obviously you've been in some different systems, some successful ones, some not so successful ones coming through, which I guess all those experiences are equally important. Is it this little taste that you've had now of being an NRL coach with the Warriors that makes you, think that you're ready or that you want to go down that path?
Yeah, any doubt I had, Gerds, it's been washed away. I guess if you talk about apprenticeships, this is my ninth year since retiring. Mm. I've been at the Tigers, I've been at Cowboys while they've been pretty successful. And, I've challenged myself over here at the Warriors, and this is my second year. So you don't ever know until you're thrown in the deep end. And, while we've got a ways to go, I'm comfortable that, if I've been given a shot anywhere, I'm ready to go.
Hey, Toddy, just while you're reminiscing and you had a good old story about MG, just reminded me, I've got a good Todd Payton story. First time I ever get sent away as a young Fox Sports News reporter, I'm thinking this is great. They give me a gig ahead of some of the senior guys. We go up to cover the Cowboys for the finals and we're up there and obviously Toddy played with my brother and John Scandalis too, so they're good mates. He said, come out for a drink with Scando and I. And I think, okay, sure, I'll come out. Hadn't eaten all day, let me just say this.
Oh, no.
Dehydrated,
The qualifier, yeah. Come on, man.
And the boys were drinking quickly. I'm thinking, oh, got to keep up with the boys. And they just kept buying me a wine every time. They got a beer. So then we go out to the Mad Cow afterwards.
Who's got the story? You or Toddy?
and then I get to a point where I think I have to take myself home. So they're still out. My cameraman, Les, stays out with the boys. I get home, had a shower, fell asleep, flooded my apartment. Oh. I get up at 3 a.m, I woke up, and there's about for 6 or 7 metres out through the carpet, I have flooded this apartment, my first time ever going on an away trip because of the bad influence of Todd Payton and John Scandalis. And it cost me a fair bit of money to get that fixed so our Fox Sports News didn't find out. So thanks a lot, Toddy.
We are speaking with Todd Payton. I just have to ask you quickly, when will you know about the Cowboys?
Oh, look, they've been clear with me from the get-go. They're going through a process. So they're interviewing a number of coaches, and I think it's up around 10 or more. So that's all I can tell you, Tony.
Okay.
Well, last night didn't hurt your cause, and the week before hasn't hurt your cause.
Yeah, exactly.
Good luck next week, though, against the Penny Panthers, brother. That'll be a nice test for you.
Yeah, really know where we're at. They're playing some terrific footy. I've watched a bit of their games over the last couple of days, and they challenge you right across the park, ask you a lot of questions. They've got some big, fast, athletic bodies that you've got to handle, and we're going to have to be at our best to compete with them.
All right, just speaking of Panthers, when you've got Jack Hetherington on loan, when he plays so brilliantly, obviously he's a Warriors man when he gets 4 weeks for knocking out Marty to play out Penrith. It's just a Penrith coming out of him, isn't it?
Yeah, the game last night, the commentator said that he played 22 games at NRL and he's been charged 6 times. So, yeah.
Todd Payton, what you've done, though, with the Warriors this year has been terrific. As we said, it was just a club we thought was doing the great thing by making up the numbers. Well, now you sit close to the eight with every opportunity to make this year something really, really special.
Yeah, it was made mention to me last night how close we are, but, our focus, my focus is trying to keep the guys feet on the ground through the week. We've given them this afternoon and tomorrow off, and we'll come back in fresh and bounce and ready to go for Penrith.
All right, mate. Thank you so much. Great pleasure to talk to you. We'll catch up again soon.
No worries. Pleasure.
Hey, Toddy.
Todd Payton.
Very impressive, eh?
Hey, how good was that?
Yeah, as Gerds mentioned earlier in the show, how he loves the way he's handled himself, and even press conferences, he's kind of bucking the trend of giving the normal answers. He's kind of opening his heart. And I think the more you open up your heart, the more people you let in.
It's so refreshing. Yes. You can so tell so many of the coaches, it just, you know, lies. But the fact that he even said it didn't sit well with him, that he wasn't completely honest with 360.
What was bizarre about that, and I find most amazing, is that nobody actually knew that he had been approached. I mean, this is we have 365 NRL shows and about 4,000 journalists, and nobody knew that he'd actually been offered the job and had turned it down until that moment that he said live on television. That's Todd Payton, Nathan Brown, the man who will take over that role next year. We'll catch up with him shortly as well. Stirler comes in. Still plenty to go right here on the Saturday Scrum. Thanks to King G.
Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Great to have you company on this Saturday afternoon. We mentioned earlier, in light of what's going on with the COVID breaches that were happening, and I read this morning and was very disappointed because I was planning to head up to the Bayview Hotel in Woi Woi after the show, but I can't go there. You can't go there. In fact, nobody from Sydney or Melbourne is allowed into the Bayview Hotel at Woi Woi. Because of the, you know, the we're a hotspot, obviously a hotspot. And I understand people are being very careful, as they should be, about what's going on. But I just did get a message from the Charing Cross Hotel in Sydney. It says, in light of the Bayview Hotel Woi Woi's decision to ban Sydney residents for community health precautions, the management of the Charo have made the decision to ban all residents of Woi Woi for cultural reasons until further notice. What's happening to our country, MG? We're just divided here.
Yeah, come on. Let's come together. I just wonder.
Well, come together in a 1.5 metre distance kind of way.
Yes, like
masked up is obviously the way we have to go.
We're having the mask debate again, Tony.
Yes, exactly. Let's go there one more time. Chris Lawrence. From the Tigers, 250th game in the NRL will happen.
Well done.
Sister Emma is with us right now. It must be you are heading to Newcastle to watch him run around.
I am heading up there, so going up with my family. And, yeah, very proud. I think I can still remember his first game like it was yesterday. He was 17 years and I think 283 days. So he's the youngest ever.
I saw the picture in the paper today of the school kid, any school uniform and the kids around him.
Yeah, so he came back. He got caught at a number of injuries, so it was a kind of last-minute thing. I think they tell the story that even Scott Prince didn't even really know his name. They'd only just met him that week. But he flew up to Suncorp Stadium, kind of fairy tale debut in a sense, got a try, and then the headlines in the paper the next day in the Daily Telegraph, it was saved by a schoolboy. And what they did, Chris flew back. He had his trial HSC exam the next day. So on the plane on the way back, you know, everyone's celebrating. He's sitting next to Chris Hyington, and Chris is getting out and he's studying for his English exam. And they're like, mate, you just made your NRL debut. Put that away. But he was so focused, studied, went and did the exams. And all of his mates, as they usually did, they go to the local Maccas, and there's all these TV crews and cameras and Chris was quite shy, but all of his mates were loving it, trying to get in front of the cameras. So, yeah, I remember that quite vividly. But I think, for me, what I think is most impressive, he's just had, I know it comes with the game injuries, but the amount that he has had and the severity of them as well. I think it was in 2011 when he dislocated his hip. Took about 7 doctors and nurses to get it put back in.
Whoa.
And if they had waited any longer, with the lack of blood supply, they'd said he wouldn't ever have played footy again. So he kind of was very lucky that he even got back. And he was so, he was a sprinter when he was younger. He was a fullback and then a centre so quick. And that really affected him because he did lose a lot of his speed and as a result transitioned into the back row. And I think there's some great articles today in the paper. There's Fatima from the telly did a great one, and then Christian Nicolussi and Sam Phillips from the Herald just going through his facial injury.
That was amazing. And there were some quotes too from Benji Marshall. In fact, we can have a listen to what Benji has to say about Chris Lawrence.
To me, he epitomises the heart and soul of the West Tigers. And when I talk about toughness and resilience, Chris sums that up for me. You know, he's the toughest player I've played with. Oh, I don't think I would have come back from that, because it was Chris, I knew he could come back. But honestly, it was the worst thing I've ever seen in rugby league, that injury. If you were there and you saw it and you were able to feel it, it was really painful for him and for his teammates. But the way he's bounced back, that sums up Chris.
That training head clash, which was described, the injuries, as more like a car accident.
Yeah, so I think the injury itself, so the when it first happened, Chris had to wait an hour for the ambulance to get there, and they were essentially, without trying to get too gory, he was choking on his own blood. He was struggling to breathe. Some of the players, the ones that were close to him, were even crying. Benji and Robbie had said that they were reduced to tears, that Chris even said what he had to do was he had to start meditating to calm himself down.
Wow.
Because he had to turn his head to the side to let the blood drip out, and he had to start meditating. So there, before you even get to all of the fractures, just the fact that he couldn't breathe with the amount of blood, but then also couldn't move his mouth. So there was that. Then by the time they got to the hospital and realised the severity of the injury, and I think a lot of people thought, oh, he's fractured his cheekbone or fractured his jaw, but he basically fractured every bone in his face. So it was eye socket, cheekbone, palate, like teeth dislodged, everything. His face collapsed. He's got 7 or 8 plates in his face that will be there forever. Like, it's just such a, it's an horrific injury. And the fact that I think when he came back, he just...
And I never played at any level, but, any serious level. What made him desire so fervently to come back after such an injury? I mean, he played a lot of footy up to that point.
Yeah, I know. I think that as well, but he is such a determined person, and his wife, Catherine, didn't want him to come back. You can understand the fear with that. And he had always said if the surgeon said you can't play, then he would have, and it was going to seriously affect his health, and he'd be fine with that. But once they gave the all clear, and once they'd essentially put his face back together like a jigsaw puzzle, that's how they described it. They said you're not going to do any more damage. So the face, if anything, was stronger. So if you cop another whack, you're not going to do that same thing again. So once they said your face will be fine.
Be stronger. I'm going to preemptively put some plates in my face, then I can go
anywhere. But just the fact that, I guess the mental battle of firstly having to get back, come out, get hit in the face once again, but also I think when it gets put back together, the fact that you look different and your face is your identity, I think that was a struggle as well. So, yeah, I think, I mean...
He couldn't get into his own mobile phone anymore with the face recognition.
Oh, exactly. No, that's a very good point.
the irony of that is that we've seen a bloke who's very similar to Chris is Mitch Orbison, just plays 300th game, and when every team needs a Chris Lawrence. Every team needs a Mitch Orbison. They're the heart and soul of every club. And the way he came back, and I've just had some personal dealings with him in the last 6 to 8 months with my Cert 3 and Cert 4 with their company, One Wellbeing, and so professional, so humble, and such a great bloke. I wish him really well today in his 250th, and it couldn't have gone to a better bloke.
Yeah, and it's a big game for the Tigers.
It's a big game it's chips in for both teams, I think.
Totally.
Is there any clarity on what he'll be doing? We know MG just mentioned, and I mean, he's a role model, and he's a guy that should be, you know, from the NRL, employed, you know, at the back end of his career, whether it be next year or the year after, to go out and educate, you know, the young guys coming through, not just about how to overcome the adversity that he has, but to build business and do things on the side, because he's a educated guy and he's got a really good business. Tell us a little bit about what he's doing off the field.
Yeah, so he's got a company called One Wellbeing. So they do a couple of different things. So one space is about, they go into corporates and they'll do wellbeing programs. So the boot camps that work around mental health as well, they'll go in and do talks on the power of adversity. And Chris does a lot of work in terms of what he's learned from his experiences. Teams up with a guy, Michael Crossland, as well, who has just been through, has an incredible story, survived this really rare form of cancer. So they do those sort of motivational talks and then work around nutrition and boot camps. There's that. But they also do a lot in the space with athlete education. So they'll go into NRL clubs, even I think into some A-League and rugby clubs now, and deliver courses. So they started with Cert 3 and 4, I think, in personal training. So some of those fringe first graders, they come out as a qualified personal trainer. Yeah. They've started some other courses as well. But Chris is really passionate about athlete education and realising that you have to have something else outside of footy, not just to plan for the future, but also he said that's what gets him through. To have something to focus on outside of footy is really important.
All right, Chris Lawrence, 250th game today. We wish
Bravo.
You
Absolutely.
Well. When we come back, play a bit of Believe It or Not in the Saturday Scrum. Thanks to King G.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Yes, King G, come a long way since 1926, but some things don't change. Made for kings. I'm wearing my King G boots.
What about
you
speed?
Are wearing the King G
what
boots.
The threads they
the olive green ones. How
yeah,
good are they?
Jacket
yeah,
jeans.
Thanks for that as well.
Thank
the
you,
nice
Mr.
jacket,
G.
pair of jeans.
Yes, I ordered
nice
an extra large jacket.
You did.
And, I wasn't here last week. I came in and there was just a large
paid
jacket.
The price.
What happened? Did you take
well,
my
the large one didn't fit me. And I saw that there was an extra large one there in the box. And I thought, well,
who else would that be?
I don't know who that other one's for. So I'm just going to take. That
Mine.
One, that fits me.
Right, okay, the one with Tony emblazoned across the
back. Yes. Might have had Tony on it.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. Let's play a little bit of this.
Believe it or not. Believe it or not.
All right, here we go. Here are a series of questions producer Charlie has come up with.
Yeah, he's controversial, this Charlie. He's,
I know.
He's, yeah.
It just gets a bit bitter and twisted sometimes.
He's getting real producer-ish.
I know. He's wearing... denim jacket and denim jeans.
Oh, wow.
Denim?
It's a denim jumpsuit.
He's not from Canada, is he?
denim jumpsuit. It's a denim that would look good. With the pants rolled up, it's a little bit, hey, a little bit like the Bay City Rollers style.
Or and the King G boots as well.
Yeah, I've got the King G boots. Okay, the Panthers. And
I've
got a couple of Panthers here, a couple
week.
Of Panthers legends with me. Believe it or not, the Panthers are the biggest challengers to the Roosters three-peat, MG.
Yes, they are. They haven't been through any kind of turmoil this year, and I hope they don't. But I think as a coach, if I was Ivan, I want a little bit of discord to happen, just to maybe a couple of games where we just win by the skin of our teeth. They're sailing along at the moment, maybe too well at this time of year. This is when you want to be sailing this way, maybe 3 or 4 weeks out from the semi-finals, but. Hey, if you've got the talent and you've got the team, I mean, they're just playing at another level to most clubs.
All right, you believe it. What about you?
I believe, maybe.
Yeah. What about you, Gerds?
Yeah, I think them and the Melbourne Storm are travelling along nicely at this point. They were brilliant last week. I think they had a couple of down weeks, actually, Penrith and scraped home. They've had a couple of those wins, and then last week was just clinical. Interesting to see how they go, obviously, over the next couple of days. But, yeah, they'll... If they keep everyone on the field and everyone's got those players, don't they, that they can't win the comp without, and Penrith certainly have a couple of
days.
Why
the next couple of days? What's do you know something?
Or? Who are they playing?
Tonight.
Oh, tonight. Yeah. Well, over the weekend.
The Raiders.
Oh, yeah. The Raiders. Something's I think we'll find out a little bit more about both those teams tonight.
Yeah, absolutely.
But next couple of days. I don't know what day everyone plays on MG. They're playing on the weekend, aren't they?
Monday night, we're off.
Relax. I think that point is crucial that they haven't really had many injuries, have they? Whereas I think they'll definitely be up there. But the Raiders, they've certainly been tested. They were missing a long list of not just players, but big names as well. Mm. The fact now they've got Bateman back, Corey Harawira and Naira down there. Mm. I think they'll be there and abouts as well. So between them, the Storm and Penrith. Either of them could challenge the Roosters.
All right, believe it or not, we're going to speak with Nathan Brown. Sterlo will arrive very shortly. In fact, I think I've seen his face somewhere nearby.
He's very keen to speak.
He's ready to go.
He's imminent.
Can he join in?
No, he can't, because that would be breaking the fourth wall.
Yep.
I haven't introduced him as yet, so he can't actually speak. Nathan Brown, who we will speak with in a little while.
Yes, I can.
Get back under the house.
I'm not dead yet.
Nathan Brown will get the Warriors in the finals next year. We know he's got the job. Nathan Brown will get the Warriors, Emma Lawrence, into the finals next year.
I have to say yes, because I love Brownie. He's been a great addition to our Triple M team so far. But I think we spoke about it before. I think they've got... the foundations there. It's not a complete rebuild. And if you've got Gus there as well, if Nathan Brown can purely focus more on that coaching and Gus is dealing with all of the politics and development, it's not to say they're going to be winning the comp straight away, but I think certainly they can be in the finals next year.
I think they need to find a couple of key players over the off season and bring some new people to the club. And if they can bring the right people to the club, one or two, you know, big name signings that have got that sort of finals experience, I think that'll hold them in good stead and they'll certainly challenge for the eight.
Well, they've got their eyes on Adam Elliott. He's still deciding whether to take that Bulldogs offer. And I know Brownie's mentioned a number of times he's a big fan of Jack DeBellin.
Yeah. Okay, MG?
No, I don't think so. I think they'll definitely improve under Brownie and the Gus regime, but I still think they'll be a couple of steps of the ladder outside the eight.
They're almost in the eight now, MG.
Yeah, I just...
Season not over.
Once I go, the travelling, what we spoke about earlier, I think that's a massive part of how they're inconsistent from week to week. It's just we can't really realise how hard it would be to come to another country every second week to play, going through visas and, you know, your passports and going... It's really hard. At the moment, we said it before, they're in a routine, they're locked in, they're playing fantastic footy.
Believe it or not, Wayne Bennett intentionally broke the bubbles.
Believe it.
Because you wanted a rest.
Believe it. Yeah, I believe it. I reckon old Gran Torino wanted to kick back and just... Put the feet up. Have another, you know, red wine and some grappa and...
Grappa, well, he probably got plenty of that.
He'll go there for life. Yeah. The publicity he's given that place, he will be set for life at Grappa.
What about the fact, too, did you see the... So Braith was there as well.
Braith and Asta
was at the restaurant.
Ah.
And apparently Wayne thought it might have been Braith that dobbed on him.
Ah. Braith
has completely denied it was
not. Oh, shit. Excuse me, I'm sneezing.
We have one more short break before we say goodbye to UMG and you, Emma, and we welcome Peter Sterling in. That's next right here. Saturday Scrum. Thanks to King G.
Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king.
Triple M rocks footy.
Just before we let Mark Guy go and Emma Lawrence, who, as we know, is heading to Newcastle, brother Chris's 250th NRL game. Emma, we just wanted to play you a little bit of your number one fan. I don't know if you were listening this morning on Dead Set Legends, but Prime Minister Peter Vallandis was speaking on the show and was asked about the television interview you did and how close to tears that you had brought him. This is what he had to say.
Look, Emma has got the ability to make you relax and get more out of you than what you actually want to give, and she certainly did that.
Wow.
You.
There we go. Michael Smiling Assassin.
Michael Parkinson style.
Making people relax and get more out of them.
He was close to...
Quite a skill set.
What?
Interesting. I'm
going to call you Tui's new from now on. Make me relax and it gets more out of me than I'd ever want to give.
It's true. Well, I think,
okay, let's
I think you're guilty of giving us more than you wanted to give, but that's certainly what I wanted to hear, all three of you. Thank you. Thanks so much, MG. It's been wonderful once again.
Thank you.
Good luck. Let's go. Hope Chris goes well this afternoon.
Yes, go Chrissy Lawrence.
Sterlo joins us next. Saturday Scrum.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king.
Triple M rocks footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.